Well, good morning, and welcome to Palm Sunday. Today, we celebrate Jesus' triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem to begin his final week walking this earth. We see the first step into Jesus' final fulfillment of the prophecies from the Old Testament and pointing to how his final days would go on this earth. So I have simply titled this message, Fulfillment. So let's pray, and then we're going to jump into it. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day and all its many blessings, Lord. I thank you for Elijah and his decision that he's made. Just thank you for sending your son to die on the cross so that that's possible for all of us. Just ask that you'll be with me now to speak your words, Lord. Just ask that you'll be with us through the rest of the service and our lunch today and the egg hunt. And be with us through our week moving forward into Easter. And I pray that we'll just pause long enough to focus on you. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Amen. So in the Bible, we see that all four Gospels record Jesus' entry into the city on Palm Sunday. However, each one gives us a little bit different angle, different details. But today we're going to read out of John and then kind of touch on all of them a little bit, different details. So we'll be reading John 12 through 19, and I'm reading from the CSB translation. So John 12 through 19. And it reads, "The next day, when the large crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took palm branches and went out to meet him. They kept shouting, 'Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel.' Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, 'Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.' His disciples did not understand these things at first. However, when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him." Here we see John's account of the events that took place on Palm Sunday. The large crowd from the festival was referring to those that came to celebrate Passover. The significance of the crowd waving palm branches and laying them down in Jesus' path comes from the traditional act of receiving a king during this time in history. The other three Gospels don't specifically, in my Bible, specifically mention palm branches. Some of them mention leaves or just branches in general. But that's why I chose to read from John, because he specifically mentions palm branches, thus Palm Sunday. So think of like the red carpet treatment that you see in Hollywood. That's what Jesus got. The crowd chanting reveals the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies by quoting Psalm 118:26, Isaiah 62:11, and Zechariah 9:9. I'm not going to read them, but that's where they went back to, because these people knew the Old Testament. Hosanna is Hebrew for save us. So these people in this crowd were obviously looking for a savior. They were in need of something, and that something was riding in on a donkey. They were excited and hopeful seeing Jesus do exactly as the prophets had predicted in the Old Testament. They even quote the prophets in confirmation that Jesus is, in fact, riding in on a donkey. The donkey represents humility, because in these times, kings would typically ride in on mules. A mule is a mix between a donkey and a horse. A donkey is a lot smaller in stature. So it shows Jesus's humility, a human trait. This is another small but extremely significant example that Jesus was not of this world. He was not a worldly king. He was not the elaborately adorned king of those days and did not measure power in wealth or possessions, but instead in lives changed and souls saved. Sorry, y'all, my mouth's dry. In the Gospel of Mark, he records that the colt had never been sat on before. So the colt was not broken. It was not tame. This alone is somewhat of a miracle. Because I'll be honest, I wouldn't have jumped on that thing. And I don't know that anybody else in here would have. I don't know, Finn might have if Finn would be in here. I'd give it to Finn. He'd take a chance. So in the other Gospels, it's mentioned that Jesus sent two disciples into the city to find this donkey and her colt tied up. And he said, when you get there, if anybody asks you what you're doing untying the colt, tell them that Jesus sent for it, but it will be returned. In Luke's Gospel, it mentions that the people that questioned him was actually the owners. So they asked what they were doing, basically stealing their donkey. But as Jesus predicted, they allowed them to leave, and I suppose they brought the donkeys back. So fun fact, and I asked the youth this on Wednesday night. Next time you're around a donkey, or you can just cheat and look on your phone. There's something on a donkey's back. So I asked the youth, I said, do y'all ever seen what's on a donkey's back? And I got one reasonable answer. And somebody said a saddle. And I could see why they would think that. Jesus rode on it. It might be a saddle on it. There wasn't. They put clothes on his back. And then another child, I won't name her name because she's my daughter, said a tail was on that donkey's back. Not quite anatomically correct. But if you look at it, there's a cross on a donkey's back. Trish didn't know that. I was a little let down because she's married to a farmer. And I think they have donkeys. Okay, fair enough. I'll give it to you. But it's cool. Is it coincidence? Who knows? That's a cool little fun fact. So, we've walked through that with a lot of information, and now I want to lead into the week ahead. So, I want to look ahead into the week that Jesus is about to endure, and I want to place a more human element into what he had to go through and the way his faith carried him to the cross. You know, I think a lot of times we think of Jesus and we forget that he's human. He's a human form of God. While he was on this earth, he felt human feelings. He felt human emotions. It is very important that we always remember this about Jesus while he was here on this earth. Could he have done anything he wanted to? Absolutely. But in order for him to fulfill what he was here to do, he had to be human. He had to be like we are. And he felt things just as we do. So as I go through these events of this next week, I want you to try to remember this and picture him just like we can picture each other in front of each other. So Sunday, we have already read of his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And in this, we see humility. It's a human trait. Monday, so one of my favorite stories about Jesus. We see Jesus clear the temple of money changers, and he flips over tables and throws chairs and throws people out of the temple because they weren't using the temple as he intended for it to be used. So Clearly, we see here righteous anger, but it's still anger. This is a human emotion that we can all relate to. On Tuesday, he takes time to sit with his disciples and teach them. With everything going on around him and knowing what he's about to be led into, Jesus slows down enough and displays love and concern for his closest friends. In my studying, Wednesday kind of got lost. And I'm not sure if I missed it or if it just wasn't clear. But we're going to hop to Thursday. Thursday we see Jesus sit with his disciples and take part in the Last Supper. When anyone else would have been running from his situation, Jesus sits down to fellowship. He sits down with his closest friends that he loved dearly, and he spends time with them. Then later that night, Jesus and the disciples return to the Mount of Olives for a pretty eventful night. Jesus first predicts Peter's denial. Afterwards, he instructs the disciples to wait as he goes and prays. He takes Peter, James, and John with him. Mark 14:34 says, "He said to them, 'I am deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake.'" Here we see and hear directly from Jesus grief and distress. He doesn't want this. He prays to God that if there's any other way, that he would take this from him. He's grieved. He's sad. He then goes off to pray by himself and returns to find Peter, James, and John asleep. This happens three times. So we see two things through Jesus coming back three times to find these guys asleep. We see patience, and we also see frustration. These are also normal human emotions and traits. Jesus is then betrayed by Judas, arrested, and taken away to face the Sanhedrin. Eventually, being spit on, beaten, and mocked. Matthew 26:67-68 says, "Then they spat in his face and beat him. Others slapped him and said, 'Prophesy to us, Messiah. Who was it that hit you?'" This had to be humiliating. I couldn't imagine. And then Friday, early Friday morning, we know that Jesus' prediction of Peter's denial comes true. He is then sent before Pilate and Herod, which both found him innocent of the charges against him. Pilate tells the crowd that he will have him whipped and then released. Basically just have him whipped because they said he was disturbing the peace and like riling up the people. So he said he'd have him whipped to appease the people and then release him. But the crowd refuses to accept this and they demand that he be crucified. Jesus is flogged and then handed over to the soldiers to prepare him for crucifixion. He is stripped of his clothes, dressed in a scarlet robe, crowned with thorns, and a staff is placed in his right hand to mock his royalty. The soldiers then stripped him of the robe, put his own clothes back on him, and then led him away. He is now led to the cross to endure an awful, painful, and humiliating death in order to fulfill God's plan for salvation through him. The blood of Jesus running down that old rugged cross leads us to eternity with him. So despite having prior knowledge of every detail of this final week, Jesus walked out God's purpose for him. And he did so in a spotless and blameless manner. I know that's a lot of information, and I know a lot of everybody in here knows it. But I say all of this to make my final and closing point. Jesus was, in fact, human, just as we are, and he felt all the same emotions and feelings that we do. But yet he never let it hold him back from fulfilling God's plan. Knowing what was waiting for him as he humbly entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he still faced it head on and never faltered. So, church, I ask you, and I ask myself, what is God's plan for you to fulfill? We have all been placed on this earth with a purpose within God's plan. I feel certain that nobody in this building will ever have to endure what Jesus did. In all reality, as American Christians, we have it pretty easy. So I can only assume that we in ourselves are what gets in the way. I know that I was for so long. I got in my way. I still get in my way. A lot. I never would have agreed to stand up here. I never would have agreed to be in any kind of church leadership role if it was me alone. I was the typical back row Baptist for a long time. I told Dallas when he got here, don't call on me to pray. I made it real clear, like in a real stern voice. Like, don't do that. I think Dallas took it as a personal challenge and bet. Like, I think he's like, all right, we'll see. And I'm nobody special at all. But God had different plans for my life. See, my plan, as some of you know, was to play baseball. But it didn't work out. And for a long time, it bothered me. Because that's what I put my hope in. That's what I worked really, really hard for. And it was taken away from me like that. In a hamstring that snapped. And I went from being really fast to really slow. In like a day. But God has allowed me to use baseball as a tool, as part of his purpose. Because I get to coach a bunch of little kids all the time and fuss at them. And then we pray before we practice. Some of these kids never see Jesus. They don't know Jesus. And guys, this is not me bragging on me. This is not at all. I can only relate to my story, so I have to share it with y'all. And recently, I've seen even more of what God's plan for me has been, because he allowed me to get back into the game that I love even more and to work with more youth boys on a weekly basis. So now I get it. Now I know. Now I know I don't have a hamstring that works correctly. And I'm where I need to be. Proverbs 19:21, it reads, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. We can make our own plans and we can set out to accomplish what we want in life. But if we don't pray and seek God's will inside of it, there stands a really great chance that we're going to get lost at some point. Our plan should always begin and end with God in mind. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." When Paul says who have been called, he's referring to us all as Christians. Not just the deacons, not just Dallas, not Sunday school teachers. Every single one of us have been called according to his purpose. In general, blanket statement, this means we're all called to love God and love people. However, God has placed a more specific purpose in each of us. And I encourage everyone in here to seek out what that purpose may be and fight to pursue it. And let Jesus be your example of how to go about it. Guys, if Jesus can endure what he did in order to fulfill God's plan, then what's standing in our way? We weren't called to just come and fill a pew on Sunday mornings. We weren't called to memorize verses and just know the Bible. We weren't called to sit in our car and know all the songs that are played on Way FM. We were called to do more than that. We were called to spread the gospel and be a light in this dark world that we live in. To close, let's take the example Jesus left us on this day so long ago and face the world humbly, but full of courage and hungry to go out every day and fulfill what God has called us to do for his kingdom. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for this day. Lord, I thank you for Jesus and his courage and his humility and his willingness to go to the cross and fulfill your plan. Lord, I pray that we'll follow his example and seek the plan that you have for us in our life. I pray that we'll just go about and try to do that in our everyday walk with you and with those around us. Lord, I pray now that if anybody wants to make a decision to follow you and to accept you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that they'll come up so that we can discuss it. Lord, I just thank you again for the Easter season and what it represents. And I pray that we would just slow down and think about it and ponder it. Lord, I just ask that you be with all those that are struggling and in need of you, Lord. I ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen.